Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Power of Love Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Power of Love, sponsored by the DDJF Foundation, where we shine a light on loss and grief and how it impacts our lives. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. We believe that through the power of love, that nothing is impossible with love on your side. I am Terrell Jackson, and I am here with my older brother, Taj.
What's going on?
Taj.
Yes.
I'm laughing because right when I was going to start speaking, the document closed on me.
Oh.
So did you hear it? Did you notice?
No.
Yeah. So
I noticed you were delaying. Yeah.
Yeah, I came in late because the thing closed, and then I couldn't find it, so I tried not to panic, and I don't know. We'll see. People probably noticed something, but that's what it was, guys. All right, so it is May 8th, Wednesday, of course, and it's not really a sunny day here in Los Angeles,
TJ
California.
TJ would say it's perfect weather.
Yeah, but TJ would like this weather. It's not hot at all, not cold. Looks gloomy. Like it could rain.
Looks gloomy.
Possibly.
Yep.
Twitter. We are live on the Power of Love radio show, so if you are listening to us right now, thank you for joining us. Later on in the show, we will open up our phone lines as well as Twitter. Taj, you'll be on Twitter?
Yes.
You want to give the Twitter handle?
Sure. It's at DDJ Foundation. That's the letters DD and then J and then Foundation.
Yes, the letters DDJ and then the word Foundation. Mm-hmm. So you can tweet us if you want to contribute to the show, the topic for today. Or you can call us. The number is 323-203-0815. Again, that is 323-203-0815. So Taj will be on Twitter. I'll be on the phones. So call us or tweet and contribute to our topic. But before we get to the topic, Taj, how was your week?
Oh, it was good. Should we do the disclaimer first?
Oh, yeah, we can.
Yeah, we need to do the disclaimer. We are not licensed therapists. We're just ordinary people who have experienced loss in our lives, have been impacted by it, and have learned from it. And we want to share our opinions in an attempt to help you overcome what you are going through. Saying that, if you need professional help, we urge you to seek it and find it. Don't just rely on us.
That's right. Very well read. Thank you, Taj.
You're very welcome.
All right. So I think we covered all of that. Let's go into our weeks. How was your week?
I don't remember really my week. My week's kind of been merged into a couple of things. I don't know. I know what's coming up. I have a car. I have to trade in my car, basically. Or not trade in. What's it called? Return my car because I have a lease. Yeah. So I don't know what car I'm going to get now. I'm going to get something that's cheaper.
Do you prefer to lease or buy?
Definitely lease.
Lease.
I made the mistake of buying. After our Brotherhood tour, I bought a Lincoln Navigator. I was so proud of it.
The Navigator. That thing was huge.
It was fresh off the market. Like, no one had it. And
how was that car?
It was incredible. And then 3 years later, I tried to sell it. Jeez. And it depreciated so bad that I did the numbers.
I don't even think they make them anymore.
No, I don't either.
My car was big, though.
If I would have leased it, I would have made money. I lost so much
money. Yeah.
And, you know, it's by Blue Book value, so I think at the end of the day, the selling price was like around 18, and the car was nowhere near that when I bought
and
that, it.
And you purchased the house. I purchased the car.
Yeah. I bought it for $60,000. So I lost, do the math, 40.
Yeah. Well, so, yes and no.
No, because if you do 3 years worth, it wouldn't have been much.
I think it's funny because I've always leased cars, and then not the car I have now, but the car before I purchased. And after that, I realized that was a bad move.
Yeah,
it was a company that I had as well.
You think you're being responsible. Favorite.
It depends on the person. I think I'm a person that just after a certain amount of time, I think all cars fall apart on you.
They depreciate too. Unless it's unless it's a collector's item.
Take the money out of it. I think after a certain amount of time, cars start to break down. It's wear and tear. And I just personally, for peace of mind, I like to get into something new, something different. I don't care. It's just, I'd rather be in something new.
Yeah.
And plus you get like the new features and the new technology.
You get excited. Yeah. 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 The car I have right now doesn't even have like connection to my phone. There you go.
Exactly.
So I have to plug it in manually.
All right. So is that all you have for
I mean, that, well, that's, I can't
that's
remember.
Coming.
Yeah.
You didn't tell me what's coming. You didn't tell me what happened in the past week.
No, nothing.
That's it?
Yeah. I'm putting the braids back in. So I've half my head is filled with braids.
There you go.
That's it.
This week for me, I had my baseball, obviously. It was the, well, it was our last, the regular season is over now. I actually have a game today with Bryce's team. It's a makeup game. So technically his last game will be today, but then we go on to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So that starts on Saturday. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully we don't get rained out today. It's very possible, but baseball season just came and went. I know it's not over. I know I still have the playoffs, but at the most, maybe three or four more games if they get that far. And, you know, it was a fun season, ups and downs, and I shouldn't say downs, just challenges. But always a great time. And then the other thing I had, Taj, that you missed, but that's okay.
No, I know.
Hey, there you go.
But yeah. I was going to let you do it.
Oh, okay. So we, Adrian had his first communion.
Because if I would have said something, you would have said, I was going to talk about that.
Oh, I was going to talk about that. Yeah, you can mention it. It's part of your week. No. But Taj, you were there with us.
Yes, I was.
Thank you for coming. And we had Lou Dog and a bunch of other family members there. And it was exciting, and I was proud of Adrian. We were all proud of him. It's he's very I don't know if religious. Yeah, I guess I would say religious.
Nice.
He's very into it and believes in God, and which he should.
Yeah,
I believe in God as well. But he's a sweet boy, and I love watching him grow, and he's very into God, which is beautiful for me to see. But we were proud of him, and we thank you guys for coming and sharing that time with him. And other than that, I think I'm probably missing something, but that's all right. That was the main highlights of our of my week, and I guess yours as well, right, Taj?
Yeah, definitely. Love seeing family.
All right, should we get on to our topic?
Yeah, before we do,
birthday
shout out to Tiffany. It's her birthday.
Tiffany?
Yeah.
Is this Texas Tiffany?
It's Tiffany, yes.
Ah. Happy birthday, Tiffany. Just one? That's all we have?
That's all
today?
We have so far.
Is it her birthday today?
Birthday today.
Happy birthday, Tiffany. May 8th. Great, great number to have a birthday on. all right. So let's get on to our topic for today. And I came up with this topic because it's actually something that was one of my resolutions. I was trying to approach life differently. And one of the things I wanted to work on for myself was to eliminate fear, was to do the things that I wanted to do, but for some reason was afraid to do, or making excuses for, or delaying, procrastinating, however you want to call it, basically fear. And I can't remember where I heard this. I think it was from a mother. But the idea of saying yes to things when you want to say no. And I think her example, I think there's a day when she says yes to her child or her children. I can't remember the mother. But basically, her way of saying it was, I say no so many times to them. Can I do that? No. Can I have this? No. It's so much no that she tries to have a day where it's yes. Where, you know, can we go to the park? Yes. Can we go here? Can I have this? Everything is yes. And that's just one form of it. The other form is getting out of your comfort zone and signing up to do something that you would normally turn down or would normally say no to. So the topic for today and what we're going to be talking about is how to say yes when you usually say no. How to say yes instead of saying no.
Interesting.
All right. And again, the number 323-203-0815. Todd, right off the bat, do you have anything? Is there anything coming to your mind?
In terms of fear?
Just how to, like, when I say how to say yes instead of saying no, is there anything that comes to mind?
For me, I mean, it's not a New Year's resolution for me, but I do try, I have in the past tried to be more open to exploring new things, but then there's certain things, and I'm probably going to push back because I know you're going to read from something, but I'm going to probably push back on a couple of things because for me, sometimes, maybe that's not, sometimes my comfort zone is my comfort zone for a reason. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm not that type of person that needs constant excitement. You know, there's certain people that need to experience something new. That's not me. I hate to say it. That's not me. I'm like, you know.
You like to stick
I'm like that dog that just wants to get fed. You know, like just wants to, you know, routine.
You're content in your thing.
When I find something that I like, I'm content with it. I don't need to know, like, oh, what does this flavor taste like?
So basically, if you go to a restaurant and you know what you like, that
I've,
you're getting
I'll order the same thing every time.
I get that. You know? And I'm like that at times.
You know, and other people are like, oh, let's try something new. You know, and
that's not you.
That's never been me.
It's very interesting.
Yeah, because it's like I've just been content with what I've had. And it's made me appreciative of it in a way. Because I don't know, maybe that's why I hold on to everything, like, you know, my clothes and all that stuff, is because everything is a map.
Like, so you feel like it works for you, so I'm good. This works.
Yeah,
I'm happy with it.
Yeah, unless it's something that's hurting someone else. That, you know, like if you have a partner and they want to go out and eat or something and have fun and stuff like that, and you're just at home, that's different.
So let me ask a question.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know there's not something better out there for you that you'll enjoy more? Or that you'll like more?
Because if I'm already happy, then it's fine. Like, if it already hits my happiness meter, then I'm fine. Like, I don't need... It's not like, okay, this was a happiness of 91. Now I need to find 100. No, 91 works because it makes me happy. That's it.
So you'd rather have a 91 instead of having 100?
Well, I'd rather have a 91 constantly than a 50, than a 60, than a 70. You know what I mean? Like, there's going to be misses. And I'd rather be consistent. Like,
look, in some situations, I understand.
I never watched the Marx Brothers or Albert.
The who?
Albert.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah,
Costello.
Yeah.
You know why? Because I love the Three Stooges.
I got you.
So like, if I'm going to watch, why am I going to watch a short on the Marx Brothers? Which could be great. And people have said they're great. If I'm going to watch something funny, I'm going to watch Three Stooges.
That category for you.
Or Little Rascals. Yes, 100%.
Is it a time thing?
Yes. You know, I've said this. Time is the one thing you can't get back. You know, it's like, it's my most precious commodity is time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really, because once I learned that, I stopped sleeping as much. Because I used to sleep a lot. I used to love to sleep.
Yeah, you did.
I used to love to sleep. But then I realized that there's not enough hours in the day.
Thank you.
And then so you, but I'm sorry, I said that a little loud.
Yeah. I'm about to pull these mics down. I feel like I'm loud too.
But... we're excited. but at the same time, I get irritable when I'm tired. So there's that fine line. My patience is the first thing to go when I'm tired.
But you and Bryce are very similar in a lot of ways.
The first thing to go is my patience, and I don't like being snappy at people because it's not me. But that's the first thing to go, patience.
Because
I'm tired. That's it.
That's terrible.
Some people get hangry, you know, because they're hungry. For me, it's tiredness. That's it.
Yeah, I don't like being tired either, but I don't think I have that. I don't think
Tiffany
I have
says
that.
I'm missing not out on the Marx Brothers.
Really? Who said that?
Tiffany.
Oh,
you know, one day I might give him a shot. It's just, it's hard.
I know. I see that. I follow you.
I think, you know, what's funny though, I think, and we'll go into our topic, but I think listeners are this, because when you watch something on Netflix or whatever, you probably read the summary because you're like, is it worth me spending my time watching this? You know, you don't just take a shot at it. Some people do. Some people are like, hey, let's try something.
But you never feel like you're missing out on something.
I'll do that with movies. I'll give movies a shot.
Or a series.
Yeah, I'll give a series a shot. I'm very good at. I watch series like just especially if they're like the pilot, the first episode, and they just came out. I'll give them a shot. you know?
Or if something's ended and everyone said it was incredible.
Yeah, but I
still got to watch Breaking Bad because everyone says it's great.
Yeah, I don't know, Terrell. I just, yeah, for me, fear is one thing. Fear is, I used to, well, let's say this. I used to be the person that was scared of everything, you know, in terms of just fear of striking out in baseball.
Right.
Really ruined my experience.
And that's probably failure.
It's failure. Yeah. That ruined my experience from 13 years old, probably to about 17 years old or 18 years old, you know, of baseball. I'm saying like, cause it became more of fear than it did of fun, you know?
Right.
And when I look back at my memories, I look at, you know, I do have fun times, but it's like, that's one of them is that fear. And
like
so,
I said, you are very, what Bryce and you guys are like,
and then the music aspect of it, it really had to make me conquer my fear because I had the fear of performing on stage. You guys used to perform, you know, well, when you, the talent show, yeah, you know what I mean? I never did that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I never was on stage. You know, one of my drama teachers wanted me to do Little Shop of Horrors and I didn't want to do it
because
I was too scared. So it forced, and also flying. Total fear of flying. And then I had to, Pops did that to me.
Gave you a fear of flying?
Yeah, because there was one flight that we had where Pops was just a mess. Because, you remember that?
I think so.
and because there's something wrong with the engine and we were still on the plane and Pops wanted to get off the plane.
I remember that.
That traumatized me because he's like, you don't understand. There's like, if one nut bolt is wrong, you know, we could this whole and as a kid you're listening to this, and I'm thinking this guy knows everything about planes. This guy's the model airplane guy, you know. He knows what he's talking. I'm like, right. Mom, let's get off the
plane. I feel like
I'm thinking like, Mom,
now.
Let's get off the plane. This guy knows it. And we didn't get off the plane, and here we are. But it was just like that scared me, you know, because then I started thinking
one little thing
like there's all these chances. And so, but then when 3T happened, I was like, you know what? I'm going to have to travel a lot on the plane. So it's like, I got to just give up on it. Give up on that.
Todd, I don't know exactly where we were going on this flight. It might've been like a London to Holland type of flight to Amsterdam. But I specifically remember in my mind saying, you know what? I feel like I'm a box. I'm just being shipped around. Cause there was a day where we woke up in London.
Yeah.
We went to France. We did a sound check. Then we flew to Holland. We did a show, a sound check, and then we came back to France and did the show. And that was three countries in one day.
Yeah.
And that was a lot of flying. And I was like, you know, I just feel like a box. Like, just ship me around. Like, I don't even know where I'm going, but put me on the plane, just ship me around. So from that point, I didn't care. I'm sorry. Someone just called, but I missed it. Mm-hmm. But so it's not only fear, but just saying yes. When we're comfortable and used to saying no, that's what we're talking about. And I'm going to read a little bit from an article. As a human, you're the only creature on the planet capable of actively developing yourself. Every time you do something new, you grow. And however rich life has been so far, there's so much more to come as long as you give yourself a chance. Saying yes opens a door for something new to happen. And if saying yes becomes a habit, for far fewer opportunities will slide by unnoticed. In fact, saying yes more will leave you with so many options that you'll also have to say no more. But let's concentrate on the glass half full. The things you say yes to are the things that happen, the memories you create, and the experiences that will make you who you are. And as soon as you begin, you'll find yourself on a journey that will shape you for the rest of your life. So here are the 12 things that will happen when you say yes more.
Mm,
oh, interesting. I'm a whole. Nah. No, you know what? Let's take this call.
Yeah, take this call.
Take this call. Thank you for calling in to the Power of Love. Who do we have on the line?
Hello, guys. It's Marlene.
Hello.
I'm sorry. I didn't.
It's Marlene. Do you hear me?
Yes, we hear you.
Yes.
How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. And you?
We're doing great.
Well, thank you.
Well, I wanted to contribute to the topic.
Yeah.
Because I had a huge fear in my life. Was a change of job.
Mm.
because I wasn't happy anymore. I've done the job of nanny for 9 years, mm-hmm. I think. And it was really, really tiring. And I had really huge back issues.
Okay.
So I was forced to change of job. it was challenging because I was very, very fearful because I had my son with a lot of issues and a lot of appointments, you know, medical appointments. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know how to manage to do everything in my week, you know.
Yeah.
By working outside of my house.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, I'm so happy I've done it. I was forced, but it was a good thing because I'm really happy now. And there's always a solution to any problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Interesting. And you had that fear because you said you were at that other job for 9 years, you said?
Yeah. I was a nanny, so I worked in my house.
Uh-huh.
And I was keeping kids with my kids too.
Got it. Yes.
And so it was very easy for me.
Yeah.
because I don't have to for appointments of my kids, I can manage to do with my hours, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
So it was very, very cheerful for me. But I'm working with my partner, so it's more easy because he understands, so I can't go earlier if I have an appointment and do at night my job, you know.
What made you make that decision?
I'm working.
Because you said you were forced.
Sorry?
What made you change?
Yeah.
I know you said something about your back, but...
Yeah, it was health issues because I was very in pain,
mm-hmm.
In my body. And I think my son's condition with his issues was very challenging for my mind and my body. My body's response wasn't so good.
Yeah.
And to hold babies all day long, it was very, very difficult for me.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
So
for,
it's really cool. It's very cool now.
Well, congratulations.
And I'm happy.
Yeah, I'm happy you're happy.
Thank you for sharing your story. And I'm happy that you're happy now.
You.
And thanks for calling in.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I'll see you soon.
Have a good one. Okay. That was interesting because it's being stuck in something where you're content, like you were, mm-hmm. like you are with Three Stooges. And then she was forced into a different situation. So sometimes you don't know. It's like you don't know what your future is. It could be better. And that's what I was trying to say with the whole.
Yeah. Well, I'm interesting because if I'm forced into something, like if something, I go with the flow. Like that is where I'm probably unique in that way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't fight the forcedness. So like, let's say I'm somewhere and I'm happy. I don't even want to bring it up. I was going to say my home, but I don't want to jinx anything. Let's say you're somewhere and you're just happy in that position, but then something outside happens and you have to do something different.
Have to change.
I take that as
a sign.
Yeah. As a sign. Yes. And I'll go with the flow.
Yes.
As opposed to be fighting it and trying to,
right.
That's where I'm unique in that way. I'll be content. But if the coffee bean right down the street
closes down,
there's a reason for it. Like that's, I'm going to be right. Like, okay, what is this? You know, maybe that's how I am. I always look at, there's a reason for it. Yeah.
All right. So let me start this list. I don't know if we'll get through it now, but it's all right. The first thing, and these are 12 things that will happen when you say yes more.
Okay.
Number one, you become more interesting. It might take a little time, but when you have a different experience to talk about every time you catch up with your friends, not only do you have new tales to tell,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, As time goes on, you will become more rounded, articulate, and knowledgeable. Mm-hmm. Not only will your friends wonder what happened to you, but slowly they'll become infected with their enthusiasm to do new things.
Interesting.
I love stories. I love memories. I love looking back at past situations and reminiscing. And maybe that's why I have such a good memory, where I can remember those things. Mm-hmm. But I love that. That's, to me, that's life.
Yeah.
And I love creating memories, you know? So like I said earlier in the car, it's like some things won't happen unless you go for it, unless you say yes to it.
Unless you take that leap of faith. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's very true.
So keep that in the back of mind. I'm going to go do a couple more so we can get through a little. Number two is, you realize the kindness of strangers. Stranger danger is a Cold War myth. You're a stranger to most people and you're not so bad. So give yourself and everyone else the benefit of the doubt. Saying yes will mean you find yourself in brand new surroundings with people you've never met before. And more than likely, you'll need some help at some point. Just when you're feeling down and feeling like maybe this thing wasn't such a good idea, something good will happen. And it's likely to come in the form of a helping hand. Strangers are just friends waiting to happen. And if you approach life with gusto, see color in the grayest of moments, and start to push your limits, you'll be amazed at what you meet. Taj?
I liked what I got out of that. Strangers are friends just waiting to happen. I really like that, because that's how I look at life. I've always said I'm a people person. So I do live like that. I do look at I look at the best in people before I even meet them.
Are you able to start a conversation with a stranger?
No. Well, that's different. That's where that fear comes in.
That's the no. You just said no.
No.
So,
it depends.
This is the topic.
It depends. Like if it was just me and someone in an elevator, no. I'm not gonna be like, hey, so how was
okay, so here's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
How to say, I don't know what just happened. How to say yes instead of saying no.
Yeah. That's hard.
See, but yeah, of course it's hard. But imagine if you were to say yes.
It depends, though, too. We live in different times, too. Like, if I start just to talk, who are you talking
Some
to?
Some people don't want to be bothered.
What do you want? You know, like, if I start talking.
Why are you talking
to me? Yeah, why are you talking to me? What do you, you know? And so you have to read that person, too. If they're friendly and they smile at you, you can go, how's your day?
You know? Would you still do that? Would you, if they smile back, are you able to go up and talk and start a conversation?
I've been a lot better. Old me, okay. Yeah. But if they're not doing anything, you go, how's your day? And they're like, just, you know, it's like, who are you?
But the idea is to get you to be the one that can
to be
step
more
out.
Open. And I like that. I think that we need that. We do need that.
Yeah.
There's shy people too. That's the thing.
Yes, but it's all about standing and getting outside of that comfort zone.
Yeah.
100%. Because once you get out of your comfort zone, you open a whole world to other things.
Yeah.
So I'm not looking at you like you're not able to do it, because I'm
oh, I do that every time I travel, you know, with us, with 3T. Like, I talk to strangers and people that I've never met, and very friendly with them. It's because I like people, but I used to not be like that. When in high school, I was completely shy with girls in general. Guys, I can hang out with them, you know, play baseball and all that stuff. So I had to force myself.
Okay, well, maybe number three will help you.
Let's see.
Your confidence skyrockets. Remember the last thing you said yes to, and to the one before that? Of course you do. You're still alive. In fact, you're more alive. And suddenly you're not just waiting for opportunities. You're creating them. As saying yes to cool stuff becomes second nature, you'll talk more. You'll talk to more people, which in turn will lead to new offers and ideas. You'll feel less scared than ever before, more willing to take risks, and as your field of vision opens up, your eyes will shine brighter.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. If someone said, would you sing the national anthem at a game?
This is a perfect example. I would instantly say no, but what happens if I say yes?
Well, that's exactly.
It could be something that changes me. And it's not changes my career, just something for me. And I'll give a good example.
Mm-hmm.
And this was almost a force type of thing. Louis' wedding.
Yeah.
I was the best man.
That was great.
I couldn't say no to doing.
Yeah. You were forced, though. But that's
the best man speech.
In your mind, you had to do
Taj, I could not enjoy his wedding.
Yeah.
at all.
Yeah.
All the way up to the speech. I could not enjoy it because all I had on my mind was the speech.
Yeah.
I have to do the speech. I have to do the speech. I have to do the speech. I couldn't think about anything else. And then once I did it, Taj, I was a mess.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't, that's all I could think about. And once I was done and it was over, people loved it.
Yeah.
You know, I got great feedback on it and people were laughing and it was a great speech, blah, blah, blah. But it just felt like I did it.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Would you have done
it was
again?
Really.
Though? Like if someone else said, hey, you did such a great job.
The thing is, Taj, is like, I can.
Yeah.
Like, remember at the dinner thing?
Yeah.
That was me again saying no. But I was like, hey, wait a minute. Like,
I survived the other one. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You have to go outside your comfort zone. And the more you do it, the more comfortable you get. Now, I'm not a great public speaker at all. And I promised myself I'll take a class. And I get nervous and I don't like being in front of crowds and talking and I don't like reading. That's like why I'm doing this.
Yeah.
Reading stuff like even this list is I get nervous and people could probably hear it, but you got to do it.
Yeah.
It's the only way you grow. But that's another reason, as much as I love baseball, that's another reason why I enjoy coaching so much. And it's, you know, I love the kids and I love teaching them. I love the game, but it's me having that after a game speech with the kids. It's easier with the kids.
Yeah,
you know?
I was gonna say,
but
like
when the parents are around and they're listening, like that puts a little extra layer on me. So it's like it's practice for me to get rid of that fear.
Okay.
So that's another little.
Do you commend people that like that have no fear and that like because we all have friends or people that are just
this is probably shocking to you, but you'll understand. You know who, I don't want to say I'm jealous of this person, but you know who has the ability not to care that I'm like, man,
who?
You can just like, he just doesn't care.
Yeah.
And I love that about him. Prince.
Yeah.
Prince does not care.
Yeah, he'll try it. Yeah.
And I love that about him. He just lives, you know, and it's wonderful. And I want to be like that. I'm sure he has his little things here and there where, ooh, I can't, you know.
Yeah.
But in areas that I struggle in, he just goes with it, you know.
There is a when I say the girls, I meant my wife and her two sisters or my sister-in-laws. When they did the LA Galaxy thing, they did the national anthem.
Yeah, yeah.
And I honestly for 2 weeks tried to talk him out of it. And I was like, there's nothing you can gain from this. You can only fail from it. Like,
Taj,
I was the worst.
That is terrible.
No, because I was my own fear. You know what I mean? Like, because all I've seen is national anthem hiccups, you know, like people missing words.
Right,
and this is,
right.
You got to remember, they were singing in two languages.
Right.
They did the French national anthem and the American. And the American, I don't even know the words for.
Yeah.
So I'm like, how are you guys going to do this? I'm like, you're going to do this in front of like 30,000. This, you know, I'm like, why? You know, that's what I'm thinking in my head. Why? Like, why would you? And they were no fear. They're like so excited to do this, like an honor to do this. And I'm like, I had to kind of stay away because I was like being negative in that way.
Yeah.
And they knocked it out of the park, but it was my fear that and you got to be careful because
this is great.
Your own fear can ruin other people, you know?
Okay.
Luckily they didn't listen.
So because you're bringing that up, we're going to go to number four.
Ooh, okay.
Failure becomes okay because you were mentioning the failure. There will always be moments when you're scared to fail or that people tell you that you're not en route to success.
Mm-hmm.
But even when your latest adventure doesn't quite come off, you'll be better prepared to dust yourself off. What other people classify as failure shouldn't matter to you because this is your life and you can do what you want with it. Saying yes is just as much about putting yourself in a position to accept that not everything goes perfectly, but that this is still okay. Success isn't owning a big house and a fancy car. It's waking up each day knowing that you're going to give your best shot. You're going to give this your best shot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true.
Yeah.
You have to try. And once you do try, if you fail, it's okay.
Yeah.
You it's like they say, it's better to try and fail than not to try at all.
Yeah.
You know? And trying and failing, it does bring you closer to success.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. It depends on what it... Yeah. I mean, I've taken that philosophy on a lot of things. You know, I'll try... just There's certain things I'm not scared of failing. And that's okay. The thing, you know, because it's a learning experience to me.
Yes.
But then there's other things that I'm just like, it's permanent. The national anthem thing was permanent to me.
Yeah, but not really.
I know. But to me, that's how I think of it. You know what I mean? Because it's like I think of it as the world stage.
But you know what? I can't fault someone for trying.
100%. That's why I said I take my take my hat off. But, you know, but when we do shows and like you miss a word or your line or whatever, I'm like, oh, well, whatever. You know, like I've gotten better at that. I used to dissect it and look at everything, go, dang, you know, I missed this. Now I just like, oh, you know, that's just part of it. Just, you know, and maybe it's because I've seen other people I really respect mess up, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get to number five. Number five is you get better at everything. Okay. And basically, you're not, I'm just going to give you the summary of it.
Yeah.
Basically, you're not going to be good at everything or anything the very first time you try.
Yeah.
So usually you're going to have some type of failure or there's always going to be room for improvement. But that doesn't mean that you can't do it. It doesn't mean that you're not going to be able to do it. Mm-hmm. So if you try and you say yes to something that you normally don't think you can do, and maybe you still can't do it, doesn't mean that you won't be able to do it and that you can't get better at it.
Yeah.
Have you had anything like that?
You know, I depends on what it is. I try a lot of stuff in terms of like technology and stuff. Like I've tried, you know, when it comes to programs and all that stuff and like, you know, editing and all that stuff, I've learned and I've tried different things and I've failed on different things. But, you know, one of my friends wanted me to color correct his movie and I'd never color correct. And it was him believing in me. I'm like, he thinks I can do it. You know, maybe I can't do it. You know, I'm like, he's letting me, you know, because I knew what his movie meant to him. You know, he's spent two years on it. Right. And he's like asking me to color correct it. I'm like, you really want, you know, because that's one of the most important things to do. And I'm like, but he believed in me. And I'm like, you know what? Maybe I look back at it. I'm like, if he believes in me and I've never failed him because he's asked me for other things, whether it's photos and I've always delivered. I'm like, maybe he's seen something that I don't see because, you know, 3 minutes.
Was this something you wanted to originally say no to?
I did. I never told him no, but in my head I was like, there's no way I'm doing this. This is a movie.
Okay.
You know, I've done music. I've color corrected music videos, but I've never done a movie. But he seemed so confident. I was like, okay, maybe he thinks I can do this.
Okay.
And he was hiring people that could do, you know.
Yeah.
He was hiring people that knew what they were doing. So I'm like, okay.
And how did it come out?
It turned out great. You know, I saw
it. Shock yourself.
I actually did. I saw it on the big screen. I'm like, wow, it looks good.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I saw it on the big screen. You know, I was like, wow. And now I'm not scared. Now I know I can color correct a movie that could end up in the theater.
Yeah.
It's completely crazy.
That's good.
Yeah.
What movie?
It was called, it's from Jared's the one. The problem is okay. he changed the movie title three times.
That's right.
So I'm trying to remember which one one that he went with. Let me find out which one is the one he went with.
All right.
Because I don't want to say the wrong one.
All right. While you're doing that, I'm going to go to number six, which is you discover newfound creativity. Okay. You're fully into doing mode now. You're becoming pretty good at taking chances, but now and then you'll have to create. Whether it's making a yes list, coming up with the one-off project, or even setting yourself a huge adventure to complete, the extra purpose you've created for your actions will offer motivation and direction. Suddenly you're starting to design life as you want it to look. And that means grabbing hold of your dreams and splashing them over paper. I wish I could do that becomes let's do that. And all of a sudden, you'll be doing something so unique your former self couldn't have imagined. That's creativity, and you're an artist of life. Keep painting.
It's interesting. Terrell, is there anything that you've done that you're like, wow, I couldn't imagine I was doing that?
I don't know. There's probably things that I probably can do and I think I can do, but I haven't really tapped into it. You know, I think acting would be one. Comedy.
Ooh, comedy.
Those are things that I they're not super high on my priority list, mm-hmm. but I think that's something I can get into. But again, you know, what stops me is my fear of public speaking. Mm. And unless I'm in some silent talk movie or there's going to be subtitles, I just, that's my hurdle. That's my hurdle. Why do you think that is though?
Cause I know that about you too. Like,
because when I was reading in sixth grade,
yeah.
Ooh, we were reading. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah.
Like you would read out loud to the class.
Yep.
I read something wrong, or I just didn't know that the right answer. I said something, and I got laughed at.
Oh, so you remember that being laughed at?
I remember that feeling of everyone, the whole class, and I think even the teacher like had a giggle. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it was just way off or something. And ever since then, I just never wanted to be laughed at in that way. It made me feel uncomfortable. It made me feel like a failure, mm-hmm. and it made me feel just terrible. So I never taught. Every teacher's different. So, you know, in a different class or in a different grade, you know, when you're reading as a class, sometimes you raise your hand and you offer to read, and sometimes they choose you and they pick you.
Yeah.
I would never raise my hand.
I would never.
And I would hate it when they would call my name to read. I hate it.
Yeah. I was like,
because of that. So I never read out loud. I don't like reading out loud.
Yeah.
Unless I'm by myself, of course.
Yeah.
I don't judge myself. But that's where it stems from. That, and then of course talking, because you fumble the words, but I'm working through it, people. So bear with me.
Yeah.
But that was my, I guess that's the reason behind a lot of my fear in public speaking. It stems from there. But then
reading different than public speaking though to you? Cause
it's just me with the words,
See,
pronouncing a word wrong, saying, like I did an interview and I said, I meant to say photographic memory, but I said photogenic memory. Mm. Or I said photogenic instead of photogenic. I don't know. It's photogenic, yeah, right?
I don't know.
But I said photogenic. Like all of that is wrong.
Yeah.
And I don't like that because I should know it, you know, but I just get twisted in my thoughts. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden you look like an idiot.
Yeah.
So those kind of things. And if you're in front of people and a large amount of people and you make something like that, who's not going to laugh?
Yeah.
Or you're going to just look like an idiot.
Well, I've learned the lesson too. You laugh with them and then it diffuses it.
Oh, okay, I'll try that.
Because if they know that you're not taking it, you know, that it's funny to you too, then they have no. I've learned that there's another, let me tell you another trick that I've learned too, is that when you're nervous, the first thing you should say is, bear with me, I'm a little nervous.
I think I said bear with me.
I'm saying that's.
But I hear you.
That's what you should say in public, because all of a sudden, instead of.
You take down that wall.
And they're rooting for you as opposed to waiting for you to fail.
Todd, I like that.
Trust me, as someone that was nervous, because then it makes them like, okay, I hope he does it. Like, you know, okay, he messed up here. Come on, keep going, you know. And it's true though, because you are nervous. But when it's the one thing that would be worse is like you stuttering or like, you know, and people are like laughing at you. But mm-hmm. if they know you're nervous and they're stuttering, they're pulling for you. They're like, you know, come on, you can do it. And so it's weird how psychology and people's minds work, but it's that sense of I want him to succeed versus I'm laughing at him because he's failing.
Right.
The movie, by the way, was called Intensive Care. Originally, it was called Hospice. That's why it's in Intensive Care. It's in Walmart, Target, Amazon.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So
that's exciting.
Yeah. So that was fun. But I just wanted. So that's. I don't know. Oh, gosh. Yeah.
How about with you, Tosh?
With what?
Is there anything that you wanted to do but you didn't do?
The interesting thing with me is all through my high school life, I lived vicariously through people, mm-hmm. because there were things that, you know, I had wild friends, I'm not gonna lie. You know, I had friends that, you know, that did things that there's no way I could have done just being part of this family.
Part of it, yeah. Part of it,
and knowing
okay,
that,
so let's take the family out of it. Could you have done it if you weren't part of this family with the name and all that?
Oh, if I didn't have the name and all that, I would have been like every other kid, and every other kid can fail. But, you know, if I would have done certain things, then if you get caught, you all of a sudden you're in the newspaper.
Right, right.
That was the difference, you know. So I live vicariously through my friends and certain things that they did. And I was a little envious of them. It wasn't like illegal stuff they did, but I'm just saying you're envious because they can take risks while you couldn't, you know. Mm. My risk taking had to be calculated, you know. If I went to a school party, I had to think, okay, is there going to be alcohol there? And what are the chances of a police officer or police finding the alcohol? Like, if it was higher than what I thought it was going to be, then I couldn't go or I'd have to leave. That was the difference.
See, for me, Taj, I remember certain times in my life, like even on the baseball field when I was younger, when I was like playing baseball, 11 years old, 10 years old, and there'd always be like a captain on the team or something, yeah. or coach would say, anybody have anything to say? And like kids would like say something. Yeah. Taj, in my head, I was giving great speeches. I was telling,
really?
Yeah, but I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I would never get up and do it and speak. I don't know what that was.
Sorry, someone that was calling.
Oh, sorry. But I couldn't do it. I couldn't get up and speak in front of people. And it's still something that I'm working on, but I'm trying to just do it. Basically, just
I am too. I have to say that as much as I've pushed back on this topic, I have found myself just taking leaps of faith with certain things. And, you know, in terms of even, you know, earlier this year being in the UK, going on national TV.
Yes. And you were really good, actually.
Yeah. But I was just like, screw it.
Can I tell you something?
What?
You actually surprised me.
I surprised myself. I was like, screw it. That was the force.
Not that I didn't think you'd be okay, yeah. but you really spoke well.
Thank you.
And I actually, not jealousy, but I found myself saying to myself, after you know how I speak, I found myself saying, man, I wish I can like be in front of the camera and talk like that.
But see, I think the thing is exactly what I just said earlier. People believed in me in that way. And that's the thing. And when I say people, it's like, you know, people wanted me to be on the show. They thought I could be a good representative. I'm like, and then I started thinking about it. I'm like, you know, I went to a good school. I had a good education. I'm well versed in my words. I don't have a fast temper. I'm like,
I'm gonna tell you what also helps.
What?
And because it helped me with my speech with Louis.
Yeah.
When all else fails, see, there you go. That's those kind of things. When all else fails, you can rely on your heart. You don't need a script. Yeah, yeah. You don't need a piece of paper. And that's what I went with Louis. Like I had a speech. I wrote it down and I kind of studied
it. I'll say it one better.
But
authenticity.
I talked from my heart. And I noticed with you, you didn't have anything set in stone and this and that. No. You were able to talk about
it. They gave me certain things like like facts. And I said, you know what? That's going to look like I'm talking into a like encyclopedia. Like I'm basically, I said, I have to just be authentic. I just have to let people see who I am and see who my uncle was.
Like know the facts, but speak how you would speak and how let it come been. Into.
And that actually is what worked. That was exactly what they wanted, didn't expect. And that's exactly what resonated. And that came from the heart. So I think maybe that's a thing. It's just being authentic in a way.
Well, we only have a couple minutes left. So I'm going to save. The next, I got through half the list. I'm going to save the rest for next week. But being that it's May 8th, this topic of saying yes instead of no, it's actually one thing for me personally was in a month, in 30 days, I'm going to be in Holland.
Yeah.
Doing my first show. And that's something where I just said yes to.
Yeah,
where I was
good.
Like, you know what? Just do it.
Yeah.
Because I do music so much and I don't know how I'm going to feel. It's going to be weird and awkward and all that. But I know it's something that I wanted to try and something that I wanted to do, performing songs, my songs, you know. And I'm nervous, but I'm excited. And I'll probably mess up here and there.
It's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be a great crowd.
It'll be like this list. It's okay to fail. Yeah. And you'll get better. And you know, I'll probably use your line where it's like, bear with me with this one.
Yeah.
But you got anything else, Taj?
No.
To add to the
interesting topic, you know, fear is something that we all deal with. But at the same time, you know, it's something that try to overcome it, or at least try and say yes more often.
Yeah. Get out of your comfort zone. We talked about it. You know, if I were to say to you, Taj, let's go to the beach tomorrow and let's try to boogie board or learn how to surf, immediately that's something you and I both wouldn't want to do just because we know it. But imagine the memory that we would have forever, the laughter, the who knows, maybe you're the best surfer
probably
in the family. Who knows? Yeah. But get out there and try new things. Don't be afraid to say yes. And just believe in yourself.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see you guys next week. Thanks for tuning in and take care.
Adios.
Thank you for listening to The Power of Love. We are here to provide hope, resources, and community so no one feels alone in their grief. Support for our Power of Love radio show comes from a variety of generous donors, including supporters from institutions, individuals, and corporations through the D.D. Jackson Foundation. DDJF is a nonprofit 501c3 organization.